this is an unusual topic. Okay, we've been going verse by verse through this gospel according to Mark. And in essence, you're actually walking with Jesus Christ in print. We're reading the print record of it. Don't have to be in Israel to do this. But this is a very unusual experience in Mark 5. Got 19 verses in the conversation, and it's about a... Mark has one person, but Matthew mentions two, so Mark focuses on one. And this kid is majorly possessed. And so, we'll go through this. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. And I pray you'd help us to be sensitive to the working, the spiritual workings of life. Help us to be spiritual minded in that we recognize when unclean spirits are in play and what we can do to dispel them, bind them, quiet them, whatever we need to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, like I said, Mark 5, this fella, he's a man in verse 2. He obviously grew up maybe playing D&D if they had it back then, Pokemon, Ouija, Satanism of some type. A lot of times people want evidence of God, and you know, one of the clearest evidences of God is the opposition. Why do people react the way they do in opposition to us holding up words? Why do they react that way? Sometimes it's pain because they've had bad experiences, and often it's spirits. And the other evidence of God is the counterfeits. Christianity is the most counterfeited faith in the world. Okay, counterfeited, and some of the counterfeits are very close, some are not as close. Okay, and so in the book of Acts, it would be alliance, where they try to come up beside, and then antagonism. So the opposites. I watched an interview of Anton LaVey's daughter by Jordan Peterson, over a two-hour interview. And Anton LaVey, or his daughter, Anton LaVey's daughter, is a Buddhist today. Boy, one thing to another. And so she realized both of her parents were narcissists. But it's something. In Mark 5, we'll read a little bit of it. And it says, And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. So this is the Sea of Galilee. So the other side, this is Arab territory today. And when he was come out of the ship, Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So right there's the opposition. This fella was a part of him, wanted to keep the spirits. A part of him wanted to get rid of the spirits. But he was so infested, he couldn't get rid of them. And the answer for that, if you hold your finger here, go to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, actually 24 to get the whole sentence. A lot of times people tend to think that Satanism or whatnot or unclean spirits would be far away from a church. In most cases, they'll just come right on in and sit down and pester certain people. It's just you got to kind of note certain reactions. When a person is infested like this fella has hundreds of devils in him, it's going to have really out the world weird behavior. Okay, but most people just have normal everyday behavior. But if you hit on the topic or the specialty of that spirit, then a reaction will come place on that spirit. So in 2 Timothy 2:24 it says, "And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth, and that they," here we go, "that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil," been trapped, "who are taken captive by him at his will." So that the idea of that verse is if a person allows these spirits to affect them, oppress them, possess them, then the devil can take it. Then he is given authority to take it as far as he wants. The end game of the devil, okay, if he takes this person to the end game when he's done with them, then death will occur, suicide. Okay, all suicide is influenced by Satan. Now, that doesn't mean that that party is lost. That party could be a saved individual. It's the thoughts came from unclean spirits, and they can be bound and shooed away. Okay, but often a person will make a 10-minute decision and then act upon that. Okay, if it's more than 10 minutes, then often it's delayed. But the thought of it, because it's human nature to live as long as we can, you know, not live in pain, do what we can, self-preservation of our body. And so when somebody is entertaining a thought of not self-preservation, that's not a fleshly thought. It's not a natural thought. That's a supernatural thought. It's not God. It's something else. Okay, so that's what that verse, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Okay, and a lot of times when you talk to Christians about this stuff, they just kind of have a thing in their head like, oh, that's not going to happen to me. The Apostle Peter was right beside Jesus, and when Jesus said, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, suffer many things," Peter rebuked him. Jesus said to Pete, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Now, how far away was Satan? How far away does the devil have to be to throw thoughts in one's mind? I don't know. But I would say because he had obviously a major interest in Jesus, that he was just kind of like a fly buzzing always around Jesus Christ's ministry. And so there he is. He threw a thought in the head of Simon Peter. Right after he said something that he got a thought from the Holy Father, from God, where he said, "Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God." So that's how quick it can be. In John 13, remember Jesus washing the feet of the apostles. He's going to do the Last Supper. Okay, the Last Supper, that's what the sodomites and transgenders mocked at the Olympic in a parade. They openly mocked that. Okay, and so, but still the idea. So you have the 12 fellas, you got Jesus Christ, and he's going to introduce the New Testament to them, and they're having the bread and the wine. It was new wine in particular. Okay, and he passed that out to each of the fellas, and then he said, "One of you is going to betray me." And then they kind of said, each of them said, "Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Is it me?" And then John the Apostle kind of leaned over and whispered in Jesus' ear, "Who is it?" And he said, "It's the one I'm gonna dip the sop, give it to somebody." And then he gave it to Judas Iscariot. And then Judas, it says in John 13, the devil put in the heart of Judas the idea to betray Jesus. When? At the Last Supper. Right there, maybe just outside the door or something. I don't know. And when Judas walked out away, as Jesus said, "What thou doest, do quickly." Right when he walked out into the dark of the night, boom! He had a meeting with the devil, and the devil came in his body, and then he betrayed Christ. And then when he got done with Judas, what did he do? Judas went out and hung himself. So, and it seems, you know, you can't pin all this down because you really don't, who wants to get involved in that world to kind of learn that stuff? I don't really want to do that. I've tried to glean from Bill Snebling because he was in that world. It seems that maybe he's got to execute Judas or get Judas to execute himself to release him to go find another party to deceive. I don't know. But still the idea that's what happened. Okay, and so this guy in Mark 5, he was in the tombs. Now, that's a weird place to be. Now, in the tombs in Israel are not like the cemeteries here. The tombs there are above ground because it's stone, and they have like crypts above the ground. And so the large cemetery east of Jerusalem is 175. Not, there's not grass in there. Not, it's not like our cemeteries. And so he's in some place like that. He's up north somewhere in some type of a tombs, a burial place. And that reveals to us that when somebody's possessed, they are interested in death. Like Halloween, you know, you see these big giants, you know, people putting these huge skeleton giants. Do they know that those giants are going to show up? I mean, people do that stuff. I don't get it. But, okay, there he is. Then verse 3, who had his dwelling among the tombs? This guy lived there. Now, that's really out there. Okay, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. So he had extraordinary strength because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. So you couldn't scare him, you couldn't love him. Passive. You know, the passivity of people, you know, you have several reactions when we're on the street, on a sidewalk, or, you know, if it's got foot traffic. Most reactions, people just try to, like, ignore you. Okay, so they don't want to be bothered. Okay, some are going to look at you and then turn up their nose, you know, or they're passive, very passive. Okay, others will get mad and maybe pop you to bird or give you the devil horns. I'd rather have that than passive. Because at least there's some caring in there, a reaction in there. Where somebody's passive, their eyes are just glassed over, that's pretty bad. Okay, and this young fellow was, so no man could tame him. You couldn't love him. You couldn't scare him. He was just, you know, passivity. Okay, and then it says, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. People do that. Young people do that. A lot of people do that. They're called cutters. Whack, whack, whack. Or headbangers, where they hit their head. And they hit it hard against the wall. Headbang. They're, you know, hurting their body, crying and cutting himself with stones. So this is really strange behavior, not normal behavior. And then it says, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. So I do believe in his spirit, there's a part of him wanted the Lord Jesus, and there's a part of him wanted to get rid of these devils, but since they had the hook in them, he had difficulty getting rid of that. Back to the same old thingy. So he ran and worshipped him. Okay, we had an experience in Colorado Springs, one of the first times we went street preaching, one of the very first times. And this fellow named David Pitchers used to street preach in Europe, and he was in the military, so he was transferred to Colorado Springs area. They got 5 military bases, so we're out street preaching. And he told me some of his experiences in Europe, where he said one time he and a friend went out and they were street preaching, and his friend was behind him ducking, going like this. And he said, what are you doing? He said, don't you see those bottles being thrown at you? He said, what bottles? And he was, this guy was ducking. He said, those bottles were coming right at him. And then, and he didn't see them. The Lord just had that for him at that time. Okay, and but then we had a fella that showed up that was cussing us and just cussing us. And after dealing with for about 15, 20 minutes, we just said, man, just can't you tame it down? At least watch your language. And so then he backed off, and then he got riled up again and started cussing again. And I said, I told you, if you don't cut it out, we're done. So then he backed off. And then we kind of thought maybe he's under such satanic influence, because you see, Colorado Springs right next to is Manitou Springs. Manitou, the god Manitou, that's who the Indians used to worship. That's where the Garden of the Gods is located. And it was understood by pretty much anybody in that area that Manitou is the largest Satanist church in America. It's all underground. All the police are involved with it. All that stuff's in it. We had a lady who worked in a hospital, and she said the witches would come in and ask for the aborted fetuses or whatever, so they could, I don't know what they're going to do with them. Okay, so this is Manitou Springs. So this kid is kind of going at it, and then he decided to pray with us. So we prayed in the name of Jesus Christ. And so I watched that kid for 45 minutes go from hatred for us, cussing us, 180 just like that. And was like, I am so thankful that I met you guys. And that, it's frying my brain, watching this. And we chatted for a little while, and then all of a sudden he just felt like he's going to leave, and he just walked off. And that was the last I saw the guy. But there was some, and after he prayed, he went down like this. He said, I'm just so tired because of this spiritual warfare that went on inside him. It just wears him out. It wears a person out. Unclean spirits just wear the body down. Okay, and Bill Sneblin says you need to eat a lot of protein if you're involved in the cleansing of that to help the physical aspect. Okay, so here we have in Mark 5, a person says, we don't see these things today. Oh, yeah. It depends where a person goes. So this fella ran to Jesus. Now, I don't know about the other one, what happened to the other one, because there's like two of them usually. But Mark is focusing on this. We call him the maniac of Gadara. And it says, and cried with a loud voice. So he cried and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So this would be the Spirit speaking through him. Okay, now up in verse 2, it says singular and unclean spirit. But in verse 8, if we follow the wording very closely, and he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit, singular. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, said, my name is Legion, for we are many. So you have not split personality, but you've got hundreds of personalities in there. And again, this is a person that's gone through some pretty tragic things in life. And, you could get in MK Ultra and all that kind of stuff. But sometimes a person's personality will split, and then in their mind they can go to this section of a safe area, and then they go to this section in their mind. Okay, but again, notice it goes from an unclean spirit to many. A legion is 2,000. And a person says, how do you have 2,000? Again, this would be really odd behavior where a person could have one, two, three, the odd behavior won't manifest itself unless you get the hot topic of that spirit. You know, be it religion, be it whatever the topic is for that certain spirit. Okay, and so the Lord often uses stuff in nature to explain something in the supernatural. So what animal, this is a pop quiz, what animal is used to portray false prophets? Huh? Wolf, dogs, wolves in sheep's clothing. So your cute little dog, you know, your cute little frisking little dog, they're gross sometimes. Okay? And so a dog, man's best friend. Dog spelled backward is God. Okay, so a dog portrays. How about a female false prophet? One of the Muppets? Miss Piggy? Okay, a pig, a swine. And the Antichrist in Revelation 16 is going to speak how it's like a false trinity, and it's speaking like frogs. So something warm, wet, green, and that's where your little Martians come from. Well, the idea of that. So everything around us, this is portraying it. Okay, not only that, Satan is referred to as a serpent or dragon. A dragon would be our word for dinosaur or reptilian. And the word dragon is found 13 times in Revelation. Okay, there's places where God judged a people, and then he said it's going to become a habitation of dragons. Okay, one place, if you want to look at it in Scripture, is Malachi 1:3. And this is this explains some of the behavior, the odd, not natural behavior of the Arabs. Their hatred toward the Jewish people. Malachi 1:3, he says that Edom, that's modern day Jordan, verse 3. Malachi 1:3, I hated Esau and laid his mountain as heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. So that would typify unclean spirits. And of course, they got very weird behavior. What mother allows their children to, you know, witness the mutilation of a soldier as they do? There's another place, Jeremiah said, Jeremiah 9:11, now get that number, 9:11. Revelation 9:11 is when Apollyon shows up. Genesis 9:11, you have two worldwide floods. Jeremiah 9:11, Jeremiah said that Jerusalem, I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without inhabitant. Now, if you go to Jerusalem, you could sense this in certain places, this spiritual influence. Rome, you could definitely sense. I haven't been to Rome, but Ashley has. And boy, she said, man, you can feel it there. But Jerusalem is a focal point of four worldwide religions. They want that place. Catholics, Jews, Muslims, and Satanists, the Kabbalah. This is why the Kabbalah is very instrumental in Hollywood. Okay, so they have some weird stuff going on there. And the things going on in Israel is just kind of out there. You know, as far as that goes. I mean, these Sodomites are pro-Palestinian. You know, gays for Palestine. If they go to Iran and they support the Palestinians, they would hang them. They would hang them. Maybe they should do that. But if they want support, go to Israel. Israel will support that lifestyle. Yeah, oh, yeah. Why? Because it says they're a den of dragons. The Holy Land is not so holy. Okay, what made it holy is because of the Lord Jesus. But he's out of there as far as, you know, he's not physically on earth. But the opposition that he faced during his ministry was just amazing. John the Baptist called the Pharisees vipers. Jesus called them vipers. So were they speaking figuratively or literally? Where they understood spiritual warfare? I would say literal. Okay, and so I've got den of dragons in multiple places. Psalm 91, that's a great psalm for protection. Psalm 91, the story goes of Colonel Whittley, I think, of World War I. The story goes, and I don't know if you'd have to confirm everything, but claim the story goes that he had all his soldiers memorize Psalm 91, and he didn't. This story says he didn't lose a soldier in battle. Psalm 91 is known as a psalm of protection, and that's the psalm that Satan misquoted to Jesus. So there's something about this psalm that's really powerful. You're like, we have some things in our body that we can live without, finger or hand. You know, politicians live without brain, and so all that stuff. That's how that goes. But there are some things we can't live without, you know, our heart, our liver, so forth, so on. Well, Psalm 91 is one of those vital organ psalms. And in verse 13, and who would have guessed 13? Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. That's the power of the believer. Okay, and of course, a lion, hyenas, in the survival world, you know, they have no emotion when they kill their prey. They don't stay up late at night, oh, I shouldn't have killed that gazelle. You know, they enjoy it. And that's what people who are infested with unclean spirits, they lose empathy. They don't have any empathy. And boy, when somebody gets that bad, that's bad. Okay, and the higher up in like the political world or religion world, unfortunately, this is what's happening behind the scenes. So this guy, inside him is legion. So another part in nature that we can learn from is flies and mosquitoes. Okay, flies and mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are bloodsuckers. Okay, and a fly. Jesus, they accuse Jesus of being Beelzebub, which is another way of saying Lord of the flies. So if you study, you know, if you understand flies and mosquitoes, then that is God's way of explaining the spiritual world. And if a person arrogant enough and say, well, I can never be infected by devils, well, have you ever been bit by a mosquito? I mean, wow. Now, we need to spray off on us. Now, off, spiritual off, is the armor of God, the blood of Jesus Christ, and the name of Jesus Christ. That would be our spiritual off. Okay, and so, again, this chapter has got a lot in there. It says in Ephesians 6:12, 18. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness, high places. So we're wrestling. Even though we're dealing with flesh and blood people, you know, our argument is not with that person. It's a spirit that's influencing them. We're still held accountable. But we're wrestling that. But a lot of people are wrestling with their hands tied behind their back. And so if we utilize the weaponry that the Lord has given us, and it's not, we're not going to go around, you know, with garlic and all that stuff, you know. It's just a normal, natural thing. And you can just say it quietly in a, you know, about, you know, when we go out, often I'm praying on the sidewalk. Jan is usually singing. I'm not singing because people would probably walk away from me, but I'm usually praying. I'm praying that the Lord will open the eyes of people as they drive by. Or if somebody comes and talks to us, I'm praying that the Lord would give me the right words to the person. So that's part of it. Now, then in verse 10, okay, legion, he says, legion, we are many. And that's that part of that split personality. And in the psychology world, which is the number one profession for suicide, because these psychiatrists and psychologists are dealing with something spiritual without God or the Bible, and so they don't really know what they're dealing with, and then they often prescribe medication, which makes it worse. Okay, and so that medication either might be a temporary aid for a short time, but it's like a crutch. But it's you got to deal with the issue at hand. The issue is this person needs cleaned by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the cleansiness and that liberty. So in verse 10 it says, and he besought him much. He, that's the maniac. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Them, he and the unclean spirits, and or his buddy. Okay, now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter them. So they see, hey, we can't be in the presence of Jesus. And so, I mean, we can't handle that very long. And another thing they don't like is good music. Good classical music, good Christian music, not just contemporary stuff, because that just brings them on. Okay, because when David played the harp, remember the unclean spirit left Saul. And that's why we need to have good music around. So then these spirits, these devils, plural, there's one devil, many devils, ask to leave and go to these swine. Okay, and that's why we would say there's about 2,000, because there's 2,000 head of swine. So in verse 13, forthwith Jesus gave them leave, like a military term. Jesus is the commander-in-chief. And the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine, and a herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. Hogs don't do that. They don't run downhill. Their head's too big. It will... Okay, and so this is an unnatural thing because they've been hogicide, you know, or suicide. Okay, deviled ham. And they were about 2,000 were choked in the sea. And of course, that really hurts the market, you know, whoever owned these animals. And they that fed the swine fled and told it a city and in a country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And this is a natural reaction. They were afraid. That's normal. You don't see stuff like this too often. And man, 2,000 head of swine, I mean, that hurts the pocketbook. Okay, and so these people never saw that before, but it as it worked through, as they waited a week or two or three, it worked through, and then Jesus came back. And the reason why is because they started thinking, this kid has been a pain in the royal behind for a long time, and he's been causing this trouble here and this trouble here, and he's been raiding this house here, and he's been doing all, and the kid is now he's cleaned up. Who did that? And then they're going to put the pieces together. But at first, the first reaction is normal. They were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. You cost us too much money. Get out of here. Okay, but again, this is a shocking event, and you can't blame these people at all. They got to think this thing through. This is just, you know, in America, you know, we have certain things in places, but in Europe, it's right in front of you. You go to parks in Europe where they have a gnome. They got a little devil here and a little devil statue, another devil. And they just have them all over the place in Europe. And why do you think Europe is so dead spiritually? So passive. You know, Brent was in Costa Rica where you offer a track and two people fight over it. In Belgium, you offer it to 10 people and 9 of them. I mean, it's hard in Europe. Europeans are hard because of the spiritual influence there. So then verse 18, when he was come into the ship, okay, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might go with them. Of course, hey man, why not? But the Lord had other plans for this fella, howbeit Jesus suffered him not. No, you can't come with us, saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he did that, and that paved the way for Jesus to come back and reap a lot of souls. And I bet you those people are scratching their head. Just kid, what happened to him? He was doing this and that. He got religion. That's what they usually say. No, he got Jesus Christ is what he got. And that's the power of the Lord Jesus. Okay, and it's just amazing to me how people just don't consider these. Christians often don't consider these things. And the reason why is, I don't know. It's just, they're up. If you say to a Christian, you know, have you considered you've been influenced by the devil? They take that as an insult. Like, oh, I'm above that. No, you're not. Simon Peter, I think, has a pretty high qualification on spirituality, where he wrote 2 letters in the Bible. And he got the words from the devil, and the Lord looked at him and said, you know, get thee behind me, Satan. I bet you, later on, I bet you wonder if Peter said, well, it wasn't nice what you said to me. But the Lord said, that's where you got your thoughts, son. You got to cast down vain imaginations and every high thing exalt itself against the Lord. And that's all of us. And it can go boom and boom and boom. And sometimes you can have bad dreams. I told Jan the other 2 mornings ago, you know, I've never had a dream like this, but it was a bad one. And I woke up that morning, and I'm being honest with you, I had thought suicide. Just real quick, from a dream. And I'm telling myself, it was a dream. Now, when it's a basketball dream and I wake up, I always want to get back into that dream. But I've never had one like this where I was just so overcome. I don't know what it was. And I just cleansed myself with the blood of Christ, went and read some Psalms, and all gone. But it was a brief moment. Can you imagine people suffering from PTSD? People from struggles in the past, people have been abused, and they have these dreams, and then they act upon it. And so, you know, that's a serious thing. And so a person, thank God we have the weaponry, the spiritual weaponry the Lord's given us. So, okay, we got 19 verses there, 7 o'clock. Any questions or comments where we covered? Brother Paul?
Yeah, when you were talking about maybe some of the characteristics of somebody that's possessed with the devil. And that they're infatuated with dead things.
Dead things.
How about people that are in a position, say, leadership-wise, and they tour around the country on a bus that promotes abortion?
Yeah.
Innocent babies, okay? And I have to think of myself, my heart, that they're possessed. They have some possession there.
Big time.
Something like that. And promoted as their main plank. Their main plank.
Main plank. That's one thing she didn't change on. And when she took the oath of office with Biden, she put her purse on top of the Bible because a Satanist doesn't want to touch the Bible. So there's something pretty heavy going on. And the way they react, the way they reacted about Roe v. Wade, not normal. That's weird. So, yeah. Yeah. And they don't call it pro-death. You know, pro-life, pro-death. Pro-life, anti-life. No, it's choice. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Okay, that